talked about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Boy, the only thing missing from this place is a couple dozen bodies limed and rotting in shallow graves under the floorboards.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing. What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion. Bow in the presence of greatness, family.
Verdict, mind-blowing.
I just wanted, you're great.
Did you get that, Ma? Your boy, Kevin, is in the inner circle.
My first impression of Kevin is that maybe he's looking for a sex change.
Well, we are the United States of America because we are united. And we are states. And we are of America.
And now.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will.
Our feature presentation.
How long have you been looking forward to playing that song?
Every once in a while, when September 3rd falls on a weekday, it seems appropriate to me to play a song lyric that includes the date.
Sure.
So it's been about 4 years since the last time we played it.
Well, I enjoyed that.
How often do you get a chance to do something like that? You know,
Every 4 years.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning.
How was everybody's weekend?
Fantastic.
Great.
You?
Mine was mugs free.
So that was good, right?
Same here.
Oh, just like it was like a sunny day with a little bit of a breeze where everything just smells good. Oh, it's just a delight. And now we're back, you know, sleeping in sludge again.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Sleeping in sludge.
Exactly. Anyone do anything fun?
You know, I drank and painted. That was my weekend.
Drank and
painted.
Yeah,
what about that? I saw that. I assumed it was really a 6-year-old who painted that, but you tweeted it as if it was you.
And I was very proud of it because I am not an artist.
Because you had enough to drink that it looked
yes,
good.
Yes, I had endless Bellinis. A friend of mine took me out for a very, very belated birthday.
Right.
And we did a bunch of stuff. And then we ended up this place called Wine and Canvas in Pasadena where you drink and then you paint. And they have a particular picture that you paint, and there's a guy that tells you how to do it.
Oh, he's like an art teacher?
Yeah, he's an art teacher, right. And so he's painting along with you. And some people were really good. Like, the woman next to me was amazing, and she'd never done it before. She's not an artist.
Liar.
But I even think mine turned out pretty good.
No, I'm just teasing. Yours actually did look good. But if you're drinking and painting and you're not on a treadmill,
right.
What's the point?
What's the point of that?
That's a good point.
You should have been on a treadmill. That's how it's done.
I knew something was missing.
You were two-thirds of the way there.
Right, exactly.
It was hilarious, though. It's really
fun. Blended drinks and taking phone calls and playing ping pong.
Right?
There's a lot more you can do,
Lisa, while you're drinking. Right.
Come on.
I let you
open
down.
Up your mind.
Well, here's a story that's going to make every one of you want to get into therapy. I don't know if this is a hot new trend or if this is a one-woman enterprise, but she is in New York City, and you do yourself a favor right now, Kevin, while I tell you about Sarah White, to go ahead and Google her. She is the naked therapist. Sarah White, the naked therapist. She's 24 years old. She's also appears to be a model, by the way. And she is doing something called naked therapy where you pay her $150 for a webcam session in which she strips while you talk to her about all of your problems. So she's like a psychiatrist. You talk to her, but she's also stripping while you're doing it.
What's her name?
Sarah White.
There's a lot of Sarah Whites here.
Well,
if that's her, I need therapy.
That is her and you need therapy.
Yeah.
Her nakedness gives you the power of arousal to take control of your life. Here's what her website says. Naked therapy draws on various elements from psychotherapy, behavioral therapy, and positive psychology. In these practices, therapists use a variety of means or modalities to help patients access their unconscious and inner drive, such as dream analysis, free association, or cognitive reprogramming. Naked therapy employs a new modality, nakedness, and the related elements of beauty, arousal, and desire. So basically what she's saying is whatever you would like her to do, I can start the session naked, she says, or I can start clothed and then slowly get naked. It depends on what you want. Someone writes into her website, nothing is wrong with me. Should I still seek therapy? She writes back, that's what's special about naked therapy, other than its nakedness. There doesn't have to be anything wrong with you. In fact, I'd go one step further and say there is nothing wrong with you. And the fact that you're even considering naked therapy proves that you're an open-minded, adventurous, and thoughtful person. Why seek Naked Therapy then? Because Naked Therapy will help you gain power through arousal. Apparently, so far, she has over 30 clients. Some of them are female. And right. there's nothing. The person who wrote this article hasn't done it, but there's nothing that's indicated in this article that it is a porn site or that that's what's really going on here, that she's encouraging you to do whatever you'd be doing on your end. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions, but I definitely think I need Naked Therapy. I am deciding that that is the case.
And you've always been against therapy. But in this particular case.
Until Sarah White.
Until Sarah White.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. So it's nice to know there's something new out there. By the way, I think it's also worth mentioning that she's not a therapist. she's oh, really? Not licensed at all. She doesn't have – and Naked Therapy has no approval from any professional psychological association.
Now you're getting all technical on me.
Right, exactly. But if you want to tell your problems to a naked 24-year-old chick, have at it. Now you know.
All right. Now you know. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I hadn't yet formulated that thought into words, but now that you say it out loud, that's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
We found a piece of tape left over from New York City of beer mug getting mugged in Times Square.
Oh, awesome.
Literally.
But not like how he mugs other people.
Oh, not like that.
You mean literally he was mugged, like somebody got money out of him.
They took his money.
What?
Sweet.
I didn't know that happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. Also on the show today, we have Robert Ben-Gurant and Thomas Lennon. Not mm-hmm. positive I'm saying that first name right. From the movie Hellbaby.
It's Thomas. Thomas is right.
Oh, okay. Hellbaby is absurd. And funny.
Good to know.
Brand new citizen of the day. Paul McCartney's got new music. We got Mike Walters from TMZ. And the shortest amount of time between getting your license and getting in an accident.
Oh.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
By the way, we are giving away Xbox 360s all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about that?
Oh. Plus,
everyone who wins gets to play Linkin Park's new Xbox game at a secret party in Venice Beach with the band. We'll tell you more about that coming up. First, though, Ralph's got our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Did you get rid of the rapist yet in that band?
No rapist in that band.
There's no rapist in Linkin Park.
In Linkin Park. Mm-hmm. It was on the news.
That's a place called Linkin Park.
I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Yeah. Band's fine. It's all good. What are you doing?
Hide your children. Oh, okay. Hide your husband. I'm just saying. It's a rapist up in Lincoln.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park.
I see where the misunderstanding came from now.
That was on the news.
Yeah, if it was
I
on TV.
I a boner.
I'm going to trust you guys or the news.
I'm a rapist.
Oh, right. Dr. Drew, come on.
That was on the news, too.
It is Tuesday, however, let's do what we usually do on Mondays, which is take a look at the box office over the long three-day weekend. Surprise, surprise, The Butler edged out One Direction's This Is Us to take the number one film of
the
weekend.
That is shocking.
Yeah. $20 million over the long weekend, made it number one. Right behind it, however, was the One Direction documentary from Morgan Spurlock. $18 million made it number two.
Am I just way off? I mean, I thought One Direction thing would make 50 million, you know?
Oh, 50 million? Really?
Yeah.
A documentary?
Well, about that band.
Mm.
Well, I'm happy, but...
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
We're the Millers was third. Planes was fourth. Instructions not included. What? Is this, what
is
happened?
That?
This is a thing? What the...
Is that a movie?
Is that a... What? I figure it's got to be, since no one's heard of it. And
I've heard
fifth,
of it.
It's got to be one of those Christian things.
I don't even know what that is.
What is it? Want to take another guess?
Not a Christian thing.
Okay. All right, Superstar. What is it?
Wait, any kind of religious thing?
Nope.
Out? I can't imagine.
Spanish.
Really?
And stars a huge Mexican TV star.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, it's the highest opening ever for a Spanish language film in the United States.
Then why isn't it Instrucciones No Includedmente? Why don't they call it that?
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of a misleading title if it's a Spanish film.
You should write a strongly worded letter.
Elysium was sixth. The Mortal Instruments was seventh. The World's End. Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters was ninth. And Getaway was tenth with $5.5 million.
Oh.
No one went to see Brett Magna, former race car driver, take on the mob?
Brett Magna.
Since we're talking about movies, it's what people have been talking about for a long, long time now. We finally have the cast of the movie version of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yay!
Yesterday, novelist E.L. James tweeted out her cast. Dakota Johnson, daughter of Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson, will be playing Anastasia Steele.
Anastasia Steele.
I like her.
Yeah. No, she's adorable. Did you guys watch that Ben and Kate show?
No.
She's adorable. I mean, I won't go see the movie, but she's charming and lovely.
And the charming and lovely Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy will be Christian Grey.
All right.
Good choice. That's not a surprise because there have been rumors about him since early last week about the possibility of him taking on that role. But she certainly was a surprise, that Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, totally.
So there you go. There's your cast members. Start your engines, ladies. There you go.
Enjoy. Essentially, if we go to that movie, we will see those two people having sex for 2 hours. That's basically what that film's about, right?
Basically, yes. That's what you'll get.
All right. Could be worse. Could be the One Direction movie.
But forget about the 50 Shades of Grey. Whatever with that. Bigger things are on the horizon when it comes to hot and sexy books. Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes. She has announced that she is has written a book. It's going to be released soon.
All right. She sure moves fast.
All right.
All of her various careers, doesn't she?
Called My Teenage Dream Ended. And she said, and this is her quote, 50 Shades of Grey is going to have their money.
What
does that mean?
Unfortunately, the phrase is she's going to give them a run for their money.
Oh, okay.
And she's Kevin, so.
How dare you?
That's why.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
She's predicting that her sexy novel is going to, win her a Pulitzer or something.
She predicts ultimate success in everything she does.
Yes,
and then,
she does.
And then turns around and it's actually the opposite.
She has confidence. 50 Shades of Grey is going to have their money.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's quite a threat.
Good point. Today's celebrity birthdays. Shaun White celebrates his 27th birthday today. Actor Charlie Sheen is 48. Our old buddy Jonesy, Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, turns 58 years old today. I miss Jonesy.
I do too.
Not around the station much anymore.
What are you doing for your birthday, Jonesy?
Well, I thought that I would go to... Was it Tuesday? Is it Tuesday?
It is Tuesday, yes.
Then
yes.
I will... Tuesday is IHOP day, I think.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Maybe today is the day that Nine Inch Nails fans have been looking forward to for a long time. You've been able to stream the album for the past week, but now you can own your very own copy of Hesitation Marks. It's available everywhere today for download and in stores. And we thought we'd celebrate by going back to a piece of tape that I had never heard before. It resurfaced recently on a TV show called Hard Copy. Do you guys remember Hard Copy? I don't.
Sort of. It was vaguely. In the early 90s. It was kind of like an Entertainment Tonight, right?
Well, it was more like an Inside Edition. Or
I don't know the difference.
How Extra used to be. More hard news stories that are kind of related to internet. Okay. You know, kind of like TMZ does a little bit where they, you know, it's not just, you know, who wore what. It's kind
right.
of stories where the person is in the news. And in this case, it's Trent Reznor we're talking about. This aired in 1991 after a piece of tape from a video shoot for the song Down In It by Nine Inch Nails had basically what had happened is they were shooting this video and Trent Reznor was playing a dead guy in the video with a bunch of his band members around him. Well, one of the shots that they tried to do was they had a camera that they used helium balloons for to kind of get a cheap tracking shot. They wanted to shoot, you know, that shot with a camera, but the camera got away from him with the balloons and flew away out
okay.
into a cornfield.
Right.
So this farmer finds this camera, short version, farmer finds this camera, turns it over to the local police there in Michigan. They recognize part of the tape as being shot in Chicago, so they send it up to the Chicago PD. Chicago ends up turning it over to the FBI.
Wait, what do they think it is?
They think it is a snuff film or a murder site.
Oh.
And they're trying to figure out what's going on in this video and who this corpse is in the video, who of course is Trent Reznor. And that's where Hard Copy picks up the story. And you'll love how much disgust they show for everything having to do with Nine Inch Nails. It's actually pretty funny. Again, from 1991.
At about the time the FBI was called in on the case, which was about a year after the film was found, the Chicago police got a tip that helped identify the victim in the case. As it turned out, his name was Trent Reznor. Now, you may not have heard of Trent Reznor. I know I hadn't. But if you're a kid, you may have his picture on your wall. You see, Trent Reznor emerged as an underground rock star last year with a band called Nine Inch Nails.
All right, here comes your favorite part of the whole story. You'll love this so much.
I know. It's more like Nine Inch Noise.
No, he didn't. Wow, is he a bad reporter? That guy's terrible.
He has a lot of hate in his voice, doesn't he?
I know. Nine Inch Noise.
He's not. He doesn't exactly seem like he's presenting it impartially. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's not even trying.
By the way, the tip: the police were, you know, showing footage of the tape all around and showing still pictures, trying to look for anybody who might know these people. The tip that they got was from somebody who saw the video on MTV. That's how it was eventually uncovered, is because the video came out.
But when police found the name of the victim, they also solved the mystery at the same time. They found out that Trent Reznor had masterminded and directed his own death.
His own death.
Oh, man. How sensationalistic can you get?
He's
masterminded his own death.
He really had nothing to do with the controversy. He had nothing to do with the police investigation. He didn't even know about the police investigation. All he knows is that he lost his video camera when they were trying to shoot the video.
He masterminded his own death.
All right, here's some more from Hard Copy.
It was a mystery that could have come from the mind of David Lynch, only it wasn't a fictional Twin Peaks or a twisted blue velvet imitation of small-town America. This one was for real.
Doesn't this guy sound like he's out of the 1940s?
Yes, he really does. He's terrible.
A cluster of weather balloons had carried the Super 8 movie camera more than 100 miles from downtown Chicago across the Great Lakes to a farmer's field outside of Burr Oak, Michigan. The camera contained film that seemed to have recorded a killing, a cult-like murder with a body surrounded by weird-looking men in strange outfits.
Again, it's a music video. Wow. Maybe that was a new... music videos have been around for over 10 years at that point, so it seems like it should have occurred to somebody that that's what it could be, right?
Yeah, and it seems like now that they know there's no story...
Right.
What are you reporting on?
Well, I think he's bringing us up to speed with how the investigation unfolded, but let's hear more.
The Michigan State Police, the Chicago Police, the FBI spent more than a year investigating the case, trying to determine who the victim was and what had happened to him. After the police got the art student's tip, they were shocked to learn that the weird images on the film had nothing to do with a gang killing or satanic ritual, but with something many people feel is just as insidious.
That's another awesome line, by the way. Because a ritual killing or a gang murder is just as bad as rock music.
As a music video.
The film that was found in the cornfield was meant for an underground rock video starring Trent Reznor. This is Trent Reznor, a man with a flair for wearing jewelry in his nose.
Jewelry in his nose.
What the hell?
By the way, this is awesome. They do misspell Trent Reznor's last name in the piece, too, which I think is fairly comical.
And a total disregard for what police have to go through every day of their lives. You see, Trent Reznor is very much alive.
I don't know, 6 months ago, we got a call from... My manager called me up and said, you won't believe what just happened. Got a call from an investigator in Chicago that thinks that I might be dead. So there was talk of me having to go to Chicago to prove that I'm alive, but I never had to do that. So I think they feel a little bit silly, which is good.
By the way, the craziest thing about this tape is seeing Trent Reznor from 21 years ago or whatever, 22 years ago.
Super skinny, right?
Super skinny. Like, we know him as Buff, and he has been for so long, but he was just a scrawny little kid back then.
When the Chicago police was approached about the case, they didn't have anything to say about it. And when we found Trent Reznor on the road before a concert, he didn't have any regrets about the wasted year of police work that could have gone into solving some real crimes.
So now it's Trent Reznor's fault
that the camera got away.
I don't know, Lisa.
And how much of that year did they spend tracking that down? Honestly.
I don't know. Insane.
But this TV show hates Nine Inch Nails.
Yes, they do.
They hate them so, so much. Anyway, you can see that whole video if you want to search for it. We should put a link up to it on the website, too. But it's hard copy reporting on Trent Reznor's death for the Nine Inch Nails music video. And it is awesome. And it's awesome for a lot of reasons. A, to see Trent at that age. But B, to see what the television production values look like. And C, just how hard-boiled that anchor is. It's great stuff.
Man, does he hate Trent. Wow.
Usually on Mondays, but today, because of the long holiday weekend, it is Tuesday, we go to the TMZ newsroom and talk to whoever will pick up the phone. I think in this case, it's our man Mike Walters is joining us. Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys, good. I'm sorry. Harvey's off yachting somewhere.
Oh, like you do. Well, I'm glad that we always enjoy talking to you as well. And I wanted to start by a story that you just put up on TMZ.com about Amanda Bynes, who I had frankly kind of forgotten about. Has she been kidnapped? Is there no way she will ever get out of this hellhole that she's in?
Well, no, they actually, what they call that is institutionalized. So she's actually been essentially locked up since the last time we talked about her. Wow. And actually,
how long has that been? A couple of months?
It has been several months. Yeah. Several months. And every time I work on this story, it's like you want to laugh, and you really shouldn't, because it's the way she looks and the wigs and all that. The problem is she is certifiably insane.
Right.
And what they've done here is gotten what they call an LPS hold, and they basically, where the doctors come in and say, look, she's so bad off, we are saying she can't get out, the doctors. And what they've done is said she had to stay, and her mother decided that she should go to UCLA Medical Center here in Los Angeles, which is the best psychiatric department in probably all of the country. The problem is $3,500 a day for her treatment, which
for
60 days, which is the minimum she's going to be there, is over $200,000 out of her pocket.
How could they possibly charge $3,500 a day?
Well, I don't know. But to be honest, it's really just the food, the treatment. She's living there. So it's a room, a bed, all the living expenses for living at a hospital, basically. And she needs at least 60 days, I'm told, to kind of stabilize the medication. But it's costing her $200,000. And the problem is she has SAG insurance, but because she hasn't done anything in a long time, it's only going to cover minimum cost.
Oh, wow. Wow. So she could get out. Let's say best case scenario is they fix her or they properly medicate her or she gets to a point where she can take care of herself. She'll get out and she's going to be so in debt that's going to cripple her for the next year.
Well, we saw, when they did the conservatorship, her parents went, just like Britney Spears, went to court.
Right.
We saw her finances, and she's got about $4 million saved from all of her acting. So she's got some money.
All right.
But the way this is going to end is Britney Spears. Hopefully, there's going to be a permanent conservatorship, and she'll be at home. Hopefully, if she gets, medicated and treated enough, she'll get back to acting. But this is going to end like Britney Spears, where there's a full-time...
They're going to give Amanda Bynes to Britney Spears?
You may have misunderstood, Kevin.
I didn't say talent.
Oh.
I just said the medical version of her life.
I got you.
One last question on Amanda, then we'll move on. This is Mike Walters on the phone from TMZ.com, and that is, has any information leaked out from behind the walls there about how she's doing? I frankly am a little sad to not have her tweets anymore, but what's going on with her? Do we even know how she's feeling?
I'm very careful what to publish, because there is some stuff like medical information that you have to be careful about for people's privacy. But basically what I'm told, I can tell you this much, is that she's lucid enough to have normal conversations with people, but what happens is the turn of the personality is very sharp and aggressive, and then when it turns, those conversations turn into stuff that's kind of not like if someone says, I want to start a business, and they say, oh, that's a good idea, and then they say, I want to sell pots for plants, and you're like, what? And that's the kind of conversation she's having, where it's there, but it's not all there, and they feel like it's really bad enough that they need to keep her there.
The fact that she really has mental problems takes all the fun out of that story.
Absolutely. I remember working on this going, yes, another blue wig. Yes,
right.
Look at the video. And it's like we were doing that for like 6 months, and all of a sudden I got a bunch of information that she was bad off, and I felt really bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Other late-breaking news on TMZ.com. You're trying to tell me that Borat did not invent Kazakhstan. That's a real place, Mike.
This is the biggest story on our website. I have had literally 20 emails saying Kazakhstan is a real country. That's what people, our brilliant viewers on TMZ.com are saying. And it's so funny because Okay, I gotta say too. When I heard the story, I was like, "Wait a minute, this has got to be fake."
Right,
right. And the funny thing is, totally not fake. Kanye West got paid $3 million to go to the grandson's wedding, to perform at the grandson's wedding of the president of the country, which his name is, I'm going to go for this, ready, Nursultan Nazarbayev.
And I bet that's close.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Wow, it's good to be the president of a country that no one knows exists.
Right, exactly. Well, it's funny because I remember working on this over the weekend, and I called Harvey, and I said, you know, I said, I looked up this country, and I said, we should probably put in the part about him being a really horrible dictator that rigs elections and does bad things to the oil workers in the country. And Harvey goes, that's definitely not fun. Let's put in the Borat.
It seems like increasingly there have been stories. I remember the Hillary Swank controversy a couple of years ago where she went and played somebody's private party, and it turned out that they were a horrible dictator and she didn't know. It seems like every once in a while these people who follow the money find themselves kind of getting into PC trouble, right?
Well, and totally. I do this story literally once a year where it's some guy like Kanye West or some singer like Mariah Carey, J-Lo. They've all done it, where they end up in Dubai or one of these Eastern European countries where, or Middle Eastern countries where there's some dictator or, you know, royal family that pays them millions of dollars to come and perform. We actually had The Game, the rapper, The Game, yeah, host TMZ when Harvey was gone a couple weeks ago. And he told us a story when he was here that he went to this part of Dubai, and he got there, he was paid like, you know, $500,000 to come and perform. And when he got there, he said it was just a fat old guy with two like 20-year-old women in like a hotel room. And
oh,
they gave
God.
Him the $500,000 cash, like pushed it across the table and said, go perform this hit that we like, whatever it is.
What?
So oh, my
and then
God.
The guy said, again. And they're like, again? So he did the same song 12 times.
I love it so much.
And then they're like, see you later. And he took the two women into the back bedroom, and The Game told us, he just was like, okay, get back on the private jet and go home.
Wow.
That is bizarre.
I need to be a rapper.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you rather be the fat guy with the 20-year-old girls, Kevin? That's the envy of this story.
Look, you guys, Kevin and Dean, I want you to come over and just stand near a microphone and talk.
Yeah.
And just do it over and over.
We'll give you
hours,
500 grand.
I can't imagine what it's like, though, to be this kid. And then we'll let you go, Mike. To be this kid who's having a wedding and goes to his dad and says, hey, Dad, can I have Kanye West play my wedding reception? Sure, son, whatever it costs.
Anything for you.
Well, no, the dad says, okay, look, I'll get Kanye, but I want Sting, too. You know, the old dad. And
sure.
Like, okay, fine, Dad. Fine, Grandpa. We can have Sting, but you've got to have Kanye.
They were hoping for Kim, let's be honest.
All right, you can follow all these stories and so much more on the web at TMZ.com. And, of course, TMZ on your television. Just check your local listings for their times throughout the day on Fox. Mike, great talking to you, man.
Right,
thanks,
guys,
for coming on.
See
ow. Ow.
A little 6.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
You have to play so loud?
That's a great question, man. Hey, Robert Ben Grant and Thomas Lennon, terrific writing partners of lots of TV shows and movies we love, and they have co-directed a new film called Hell Baby that you will adore, Kevin Bean listeners.
It's absurd.
It is right in your wheelhouse. We'll talk to those guys coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though, this is the time of year where lots of the new fall music releases are coming out. You know, we were talking about Nine Inch Nails coming out in stores today. Well, Paul McCartney has a new record coming out in about a month or so in October. His new album is going to be called New.
Oh, I've been what? New?
New is what it's called, yes.
So been looking forward to some new Paul McCartney.
You haven't even a little bit,
no,
Kevin, but he did do an interview this week where they said, hey, Paul, you're, 71. How long can this keep going? And he's like, I'm never going to retire. I'm going to keep making records till the day I die. Let's hear a little bit of this new Paul McCartney, which has received mixed reviews. Some like it very much, say it's very Paul McCartney-esque. Others are like, why does he bother? But what do you guys think?
We came along and made my life this song. One lucky day, you came along just in time. While I was searching for a ride, you came along and we were new. Ooh, we can do what we want, we can live as we choose.
Sounds a little childish.
You see, there's no guarantee, we've got nothing to lose.
Doesn't it sound like a second grader wrote that? The rhymes and stuff.
I don't feel that, but here's the problem with Paul McCartney is it's impossible not to compare it to hundreds of other well-done songs, much better songs that he's already
right.
written. So
yeah.
If I was in the mood for Paul McCartney, why would I ever want to listen to this when I could listen to Band on the Run? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So I don't know, but we wanted to find out more about what's going on with Sir Paul McCartney. So we asked producer Dave, could you line him up for us? And I believe we have him on the line right now. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. We're fine. It's always great to have you on the show. It's a real honor, in fact.
It's great to be on the show because I'm always happy to be here.
So, Paul, this new song, this is the finished version. This is how you intended for it to sound when it was released?
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. I think new is great.
Okay. All right.
And
First of all, it's new.
It is new. I mean, right. That's hard to argue.
Of all the songs I've written, this one is the newest.
Okay. It is to do us. It's your latest song. Yeah. Exactly, right.
I was going
to
call it latest. Because that would make it sound like I'm running behind schedule.
Now, some people, Kevin included, and Ralph, a guy who also works on this program, who's not in here with us for some reason. We did ask him to be. He says that it just sounds childish. It just sounds like you're just throwing a bunch of words up against the page to see what sticks, and it's not a lot of thought or effort goes into it, and it's really kind of basic and beneath you.
No, every one of my songs I put a lot of thought into.
You do?
Yeah, every one of those rhymes, you know, is important to me. Like, you came along just like a song.
Right, we got that. We heard the rhyme.
Along and song, they rhyme.
Right.
But also it's about someone coming along and then making your life a song.
Right.
Now,
Paul, don't you worry sometimes that your legacy is so great, maybe you're going to tarnish it with some of these songs that you're doing now?
My best work ever, I
think.
This
is your best work ever.
This work is better than anything I've done before.
It's better than Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah.
Better than Yesterday.
Better than anything with Wings.
Let It Be.
What?
Better. This is the song we just heard is better than Live and Let Mother Effin' Die.
Oh, absolutely. I've never been more proud of anything in my life.
What's happening?
I've got more songs on new, too, that are great.
On the album?
Yeah.
Are they like that one?
They're just as good, I think, if not better.
Well, I hope they're better.
Because they're really, you know, full of depth.
Okay.
And full of meaning about life.
Do you go in a different direction on some of them?
Yeah, they're all very different.
Mix it up?
Oh.
You think, you know, some people say my rhymes are simple.
Right.
But these are quite complex, I think, in this one.
Okay.
I walk down the street. I have 2 feet. I like to wear shoes. How about you?
Okay, that's terrible. That's not even trying.
No, great. I think it's my best work ever.
It sounds it sounds like a talent show at a middle school.
Well, there must be pretty talented kids at that middle school. How about this one? I like to eat lunch. I like it a bunch.
Wait, what?
Paul?
What happened? You like to eat lunch what?
Mr. McCartney, hello? Are you okay? What's happening?
Try that one again? A little lunch one? Because that sounded
like a bunch, I said.
Oh, you like it a bunch.
But also, this time I get very political.
Paul, if you don't mind my saying so, all of these songs sound pretty similar.
No, they're all different.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, I usually don't get much into politics. But now, you know, on this album, I really can afford to.
Okay.
So I do an important song about President Obama.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
I like President Obama as much as my llama.
How does he do it? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
You didn't know it was Chinese?
Nope.
Or you didn't know?
I did not. I didn't realize I was going to have
you to... saw a movie in Chinese, Kevin?
Yes, I did.
How did that happen?
Well, it looks awesome. Grandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kung fu movie.
All right. Well,
so I went, and who knew it was in Chinese?
You have to
read subtitles.
No way to predict that.
A little research, maybe, before you head to the theater.
Looked good. It was good.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then Robert Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon join us right after the top of the hour to talk about their hilarious new Hell Baby. What's up, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, how about we give away some tickets? This is a really cool event. These are tickets to the premiere. Well, it's hard to say premiere since the movie is, well, I don't know, 70 years old.
Yeah,
75 years old. The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
However, it's not the old school Wizard of Oz. This is the brand new updated Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D. Premiere will be on September the 15th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Of course, it starts a 1-week limited engagement at that theater and a couple other IMAX theaters around town, I believe. starting Friday, September the 20th. But you will see it the very first night at the premiere. It's The Wizard of Oz back on the big screen, this time in IMAX and 3D. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I can't wait to check this out. Spoiler alert, House Falls on the Witch.
Oh. Hey.
I'm just saying.
Wait until we go see it.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First six callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of The Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D on September the 15th down there at the Chinese Theater. Very cool event. Some sad news in the showbiz beat today. We've lost a couple people. I enjoyed their work very much. David Frost being one of them. David Frost was, for those you don't know, I guess the best way to describe him is as he was like the British Larry King. He was
a talk show.
He was a journalist. He was an interviewer, but he was also a larger than life personality and was sort of a very popular public figure in his own right. Sir David passed away this weekend aboard the Queen Elizabeth cruise ship on Sunday. He was 74 years old.
What a party for the boat, huh?
He was due to give a speech aboard that ship.
Oh my gosh.
Which was sailing from England, and then they found him sadly passed away in his bed. Probably most famous for a series of interviews he did with President Richard Nixon after Watergate, 1977.
Oh, that was him.
After Nixon had resigned, Frost sat down with him. Did you ever see the movie Nixon Frost?
I did see that.
Great film. And Michael Sheen played him in that movie. Langella played Nixon. But it was groundbreaking. It was the first time Nixon really had sat down with anybody and talked about what had happened. And it was a fascinating series of interviews. It pretty much was what buried Nixon, because he refused to apologize, wouldn't admit he did anything wrong.
Right.
But Frost later went on to interview six other presidents and eight British prime ministers. Very lengthy career. And he was a good one. So he has passed away. And also, if you remember Rocky V, remember Tommy Gunn?
I remember the name. See the guy with the...
He was the young kid Rocky takes on as his protege.
Yeah, former heavyweight champion of the world, right, Ralph?
A real boxer, Tommy Morrison, played Tommy Gunn in that film. He was a former heavyweight champion. Took the title away from George Foreman. Then he later stood toe-to-toe with Lennox Lewis. He later tested positive for HIV. He passed away on Monday. He was 44 years old. This guy is an interesting cat. Apparently, he was had a lot of issues, especially after he tested positive. He sort of denied that he was HIV positive. He said there were false positives and there was a conspiracy about the disease, and then he wouldn't get any treatment. And it's a long, convoluted, really, really sad story about Tommy Morrison. But he finally succumbed to the illness on Monday at the age of 44 years old. He was a very promising boxer at the time. He was very popular because he was a good-looking white kid out of, I want to say Nebraska, I think. Anyway, he was sort of like the next white hope when it came to the heavyweights, but his life sort of got out of control and got away from him, so.
Because he got the stuff, that's why.
He got the stuff, that's right. Billy Corgan, in music news, told CNN this weekend that he has found God.
Billy Corgan?
Yes.
Has found God?
Yes. His songs with this new Smashing Pumpkins will no longer be about suffering and misery, he says.
Hmm.
Now, they'll be all about the big man upstairs, which Billy says is the future of rock and roll. Christian rock is the future of rock and roll.
Hmm.
He also said in the interview that Christian artists need to make better music because that's what Jesus wants. He wants better music. Forget about curing illnesses or feeding the starving or peace. What Jesus wants is a good beat. He wants to get his groove on. He wants to rock out.
You want to hear a clip from Billy Corgan?
Oh, I'd love to. Is
Christian music?
Yeah. This isn't Billy Corgan at all. This is David Lynch. Director David Lynch.
Apparently, Pauly had a red shirt.
Yeah, that's nice.
Look, anything that will improve Billy Corgan's songwriting, I'm for. If it takes Jesus to do that, that's fine, because he hasn't written a good song in 20 years.
If Jesus wants good music, Billy's in trouble. Let's take a look, quick look at the top 10 movies over the long holiday weekend. The Butler, still number one. $20 million it made over the weekend. One Direction, This Is Us. The documentary from Morgan Spurlock in its debut made $18 million, making it number two. Where the Millers was third, Planes, and then Instructions Not Included. Instrucciones no en la Nintendo. $10 million made it number five. Elysium, The Mortal Instruments, The World's End, Percy Jackson, woo, Sea of Monsters was eighth, and then Getaway was number 10. Top five birthdays. It's Tuesday. It's going to take me a while to get back in the groove. I'm a little thrown off. My schedule's off a little bit.
All right.
All these stars were born on September the 3rd. Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. One of our favorites around here. 58 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen is 48. And athlete Shaun White celebrates his 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Robert Ben-Gurant and Tom Lennon join us in studio. Directors, writers, and actors for Hello Baby. Hi, you guys.
Yay. Mild applause.
Mild applause. Polite acknowledgement.
I remember those guys vaguely.
I remember when we talked to you guys, or maybe it was just you, Thomas, who came in to talk to us about the Writing Movies for Fun and Profit book.
That's us. Yeah.
You guys both came in. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, these guys are doing pretty well for themselves. Which one of you is driving a Tesla into the K-Rock parking lot?
Who's that dream catcher?
You know, tell me about that.
The screenwriting book works.
Yeah, it actually does. Yeah.
You get two other friends to become screenwriters, and then they get two friends to become screenwriters.
No,
it's a trapezoid.
It's
a success trapezoid where people give you money, and you're the top of the trapezoid.
Tell me what it's like having a Tesla. Tell me what that thing is like, because all I know is, you know, what
I
see.
It's a nice looking car.
It's a great looking car.
Looks kind of like a
How far can you go?
You can go 300 miles in it, in the one that I got. It's
But in 5 seconds.
In about 5 seconds. It's a rocket car.
That's something.
It's called the DUI machine.
It's like the DeLorean. It's like Dr. Brown's crazy DeLorean.
Exactly. You got to cut down on the lunchtime wine when you got a fast car like that, and which is a problem for me, because as you know me, if lunchtime you've seen my wine. Work, a lot of it's written on lunchtime wine.
It's very sloppy. Yeah. but is it, forgive my ignorance on this topic, I've never really driven an electric car, but is it like driving a quote-unquote real car?
It's exactly, except it's dead silent.
So it doesn't make any noise.
If you hear any, it's a perfect thing for drive. That's really why I got it.
You can hit any pedestrian you want, and they'll never see it coming.
The real reason was so I could take out all my enemies before they knew. Here's my real feeling about this. You want me to get weird and patriotic?
I do, I'm very curious.
Here's my
feeling about it.
It was like, if they make a really fast, cool-looking electric car in California,
which it is,
and if I can afford it, I'm a jerk if I don't buy it.
True.
And it's a regular
anti-American
outlet, right?
If you don't.
It is, exactly.
Poor California.
Yeah, and then, of course, then it's weird because I put all those anti-American bumper stickers on the back.
You get some really weird stuff
those
on the
are
back.
Those weird. You have to balance things out.
You got exactly karma.
Yeah, very strange. Is it a regular outlet? You just plug it into a regular old outlet?
You got to get like one of those washer-dryer ones.
Oh. Yeah. So, well, you go 300 miles and there's not one of those washer-dryer ones. What do you do?
You run.
You run. Yeah,
you just leave the locals. They'll just swarm you like World War Z, and you just run.
You leave the car.
Oh. Where did you go?
Did you leave the car forever?
It's a very good plan. Actually, there are places you can plug in. Like here to San Francisco, you can plug here to Vegas. You can plug in.
All right.
I believe
you're Robert. Have you ever been in the car, Robert?
I have not. He doesn't let me near it.
That's how it is.
I have a thing around my ankle that makes the car go off, so he doesn't. Yeah, yeah. I keyed his Prius so many times.
Again, the anti-American stickers on the back. It was crazy. I don't know why I even have those, other than
just kicking up
dust.
Yeah. That's fun.
We are very excited to have you boys back in. We've been you reminded our office staff in there that you've been coming into the show since the 90s for various BS projects throughout the years.
Was it Viva Variety that we were in Burbank for?
I think it might have been.
We were trying to remember.
We've been cranking out half-thought-out crap for getting on a quarter century.
Cult stuff.
Oh, I meant cult. I'm sorry.
Don't do cult stuff,
I meant
kids.
Cult.
Don't do cult.
Cult doesn't pay?
Cult doesn't pay. Unless it's Scientology, it doesn't pay.
Yeah. We're fans of about 50% of what you've done.
Yeah.
You're pretty good track, right? Tomatoes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you are back. We want to talk about this Hell Baby movie. And let me tell you, the first time I heard about Hell Baby was we have Rob Corddry in all the time. We love that guy.
He's a great guy. Genius. We never worked with him before. He's awesome.
He's so sexy. How could you not want to spend time with him?
He's like a sexy Curly from the Three Stooges.
Exactly.
Sexier.
So he was in one day and he was promoting Children's Hospital or something. And we're like, what else have you been up to? He's like, well, I just was in New Orleans. I was just filming this movie, Hell Baby. We hadn't heard anything about it. He said, yeah, Leslie Bibb plays my wife. Mm-hmm. So we said, it's science fiction, right? There's no way. Like,
yeah, it's like a body snatcher like, is kind of a thing.
He's like, no, seriously, Leslie. And we were like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, and that really was our introduction to Hell Baby.
That now, really bothers people online.
There's a lot of chat rooms on that topic.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they really fall on your side of that argument.
How could Rob ever score? Give me one example in real life where there is that much of a disparity between the guy and the girl, though. When the girl is that high.
Well, Sumner Redstone's married to some pretty good-looking ladies.
Rupert Murdoch. I guess if you're a billionaire,
pretty hot. Yeah, pretty hot.
Old billionaires.
Old billionaires. Right. Yeah.
But in regular, like, Hollywood, does a Rob Corddry ever get a Leslie Bibb?
You know, here's the secret, kids, by the way. You know what? You can go way out of your league
if
you get crazy funny.
Funny is money.
Crazy funny.
Yeah.
Like no amount of sports, until you're at the very top of sports, will get you as far as funny.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Funny is money is the tip to take away. Yeah.
So Seinfeld's not a great looking dude.
No.
Man, if you Google images of him with dates and stuff, they're pretty high end. They're pretty.
That's true. Yeah. How did Hell Baby come about? Well, how'd the first
Reno 911 guy?
Which one?
Reno 911. We ran into the ground.
Yes, right. like we do.
You know how we run stuff into the ground?
Love it.
Yeah. Until America's like, I'm sick of that now.
All right.
We did that with Reno 911, and then we were like, why don't we, instead of doing more TV in that genre of like a little thing where nobody gives us any notes and we kind of do whatever we feel like, and there's usually some weird nudity and we chase each other around. Why don't we?
Shorts that are too tight.
Yeah, yes. Why don't we just do a movie of that?
Yeah, okay. We wrote set out to write a low budget movie so somebody would just give us the money and then stay away from us.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah, and that's how it happened. It's like $1.9 million, which for movies, really, really cheap. We got no notes. Somebody just gave us the cash and sent us to New Orleans. It was
you can
great.
Tell when you see the film, you're like, wow, no one gave them any notes.
There was no grown up around at all.
Because three different times we stopped to eat sandwiches in the film. For
I
got to
tell you, those segments are the funniest.
Thank you.
We were able to watch it over the weekend, and I died laughing.
I need a po' boy. I know that.
It's just so at those segments were ridiculous.
There's a lot of pointless nudity, pointless violence.
Sometimes a character in this movie just comes in so that they can leave.
Yeah.
Like Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah. Hey, how are you guys? Yeah.
And then he's gone.
Yeah.
And so, a major studio would have said, like, guys, this doesn't make sense, and it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't need those notes.
Nope.
All right. No. Yeah.
There is something to be said, though, and you guys know this more than anyone, being in comedy, of one person, or in your case, two persons, because as you've often said, you guys are half of a brain together.
Mm-hmm. Half of a quarter of a normal-sized brain.
Right. The two of you together is half of one regular-sized brain. I think that's the quote I read. Mm-hmm. But it's so much better, isn't it, in many ways, to just have your comedic vision and yours alone rather than have every joke and every setup and every scene tossed around to 10 other people who get to weigh in on it. I mean, comedy by committee rarely ever is successful.
It's a miracle. Miracle if a big giant Hollywood movie is genuinely funny all the way through. And it usually takes somebody like a Todd Phillips or, you know, somebody who's strong enough to stand up to the committee.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, if you're trying to make a movie that's big to Queen Latifah fans and Ice Cube fans, it's going to be a weird kind of compromise in the middle. And some jokes will work and a lot of them won't.
You wouldn't have had all that eating, I'll tell you that.
No.
They would have taken that out.
They would cut out some of the eating. They would cut out the whole – the movie really doesn't kick in – yeah, there's a puppet that barely is believable.
Barely believable puppet that kills almost everyone in the cast.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Anyone you meet in the movie gets their face ripped off. I thought it was a hell baby.
It was a hell baby. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
All right. We have to take a break with Thomas Lennon and Robert Ben-Gurion here in a moment. But for folks who can't stick around for segment two, I want to make sure they see Hell Baby because it's in theaters this, next Monday, right?
The 6th. Yeah. September 6th. But you can get it on demand everywhere in the world.
And it's on demand immediately. Now. But I want to make sure before the break, let's talk about the most gratuitous nudity that's been in a movie as long as I can remember.
Yay.
Right?
Yay. Ricky Lindholm, yay.
Literally no reason for it.
No reason for it.
And it goes on for minutes.
And
that's why it's brilliant.
No.
And you're not in a rush.
No.
Nope. It's almost seven minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that happens is Ricky covers herself in oil and tells you about something that happened to her a while ago that we never talk about again.
It has nothing to do with the plot.
No, she tells you very importantly that her banjo got stolen.
That's right, yeah.
That's going to be very big in prison.
I found that I wasn't listening to the story.
Didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
She could have said it. Yeah, you can tune out for large sections of the movie and you won't really get lost.
It's fantastic. If you like boobies, if you like funny, if you like horror, if you like any of this phenomenal cast, Rob Corddry, Leslie Bibb, Rob Hubel, Mike Liam Black, Paul Scheer, we're going to talk about all of that and so much more with our guests. When we return, we're talking about Hellbaby. More after this on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Blue Man Group will invade the Hollywood Bowl for a wild collaboration with the Los Angeles Philharmonic Association and the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra on September 6th and 7th. You'll never look at classical music the same way again. Get your tickets today at HollywoodBowl.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
See how Robert was shaking his head?
Yeah.
He's thinking about that Blue Man Group.
He's thinking what I was thinking, which is, man, if you were going to get some shrooms and go to something.
That's a safe evening.
That's a good evening.
Yeah.
By the way, isn't it a miracle? This is Robert Ben-Gurant and Thomas Lennon, directors, writers, actors from Hellbaby here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Wouldn't you have thought that the Blue Man Group would have lasted about a week in Las Vegas and that would be it? And here we are 20 years later and they're still popular.
Yeah. Still, every single night, those dudes... going around the eyeballs. The part that always gets me when I look at the posters is how close they get to their eyeball with the blue.
With the blue.
That takes some time.
Yeah.
It's an avant-garde franchise. They must have to dip.
Hold their ankles and just dip them.
Dip them. Yeah. Like Achilles.
They eat a lot of marshmallows for 20 years. A lot of marshmallows to eat over 20 years.
They spit out most of them out.
They do spit out a
sculpture of the Venus de Milo, right?
Yeah. It's still a lot of marshmallows to have in your mouth.
There are an awful lot of jobs, I think, in show business where people have to occasionally have a reality check where they wake up and go, what am I doing?
Wow.
But imagine what it's like if you're driving down to your wherever they are on the strip right now.
Again.
And again, today, again, to get painted blue. Imagine what the thought process is in your head as you're heading toward the work that day.
And nobody knows you in the bar afterwards.
No.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
You don't get a lot of
groupies. If you're going to do something awful every single day.
Yeah, at least.
At least it's like, hey, you're the guy that bites the chickens, right?
Yeah, that's me.
That's me.
That's me.
Instead, that guy's in the bar going, you've heard of us. That's we paint ourselves blue.
I really am a blue man. Yeah, right. buddy.
Great way to go to Vegas for the weekend. Just pretend to be blue men.
Just leave a little blue around your collar.
And just like, hey, how you doing? Work on the marshmallow trick.
Yeah,
if you could do the marshmallow trick,
What do you think?
Hanging out at the Luxor. Hey, ladies.
You guys are big Hollywood showbiz whizzes. What do you think you make being in the Blue Man Group?
Ooh.
Now, if you're in the Blow Man Group, now that's serious money. But what do you think you make in the Blue Man Group?
That's a short ride.
Blue Man Group. What if they do pretty great?
I bet they do pretty good. Yeah.
They have to. Aren't they making $200,000 a year?
They have to be a huge draw.
I bet it's low. I think it's
more than that. I think it's more than two.
I think they make like a quarter.
Each of them make, by the way, those 25 tickets, cents?
Each of them make 25 cents.
The tickets are kind of expensive.
Right. They took $100.
Yeah.
Huge theater. Mm-hmm. I bet they do pretty well.
The merch.
Merch table, you guys.
Sure. The merch table alone.
I also bet a lot of them never leave. I bet you just do it forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Really? You don't think like... Mm-hmm.
I bet they've gone through 40 different Blue Man.
I can't. But the original team probably supervises.
Is this an idea for a movie?
Like, I bet they make a fortune.
Like the casinos, like at the end, they're finally closing up the show and they're like, we don't need you Blue Men anymore. And then they get the original Blue Men, all of them, to jack the casino.
I like
it.
It's a good one.
But you add like 100 more Blue Men.
Yeah. You get all of them.
Right.
And then they're like,
who knows who to follow?
And they're like drumming on the air conditioner.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you write a movie for fun and profit. Right there.
Right.
Let's go get it.
Now we go get some lunchtime wine.
Blue Jack.
It's called Blue Jack City.
Yeah. We could write this in 45 minutes.
Blue Jack City.
But we could never get it in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
nobody could ever get into the vault. They'd have to squish their body real small.
Oh, the Blue Men with their shenanigans. Come on in the vault, guys.
Couldn't be worse
Blue
than
Jack
Herbie City. Fully loaded.
Blue Jack, no.
Are you kidding?
But,
but I bet we could get Lindsay in this one, too, right now.
We got her, We get her on both sides of her kind of arc.
What do you guys think is the worst thing you've ever written, and what do you think is the best thing you've
ever
written?
Worst thing I've ever written, hands down, no questions asked, in my opinion, is the film, Adam Carolla called it the worst film that human beings have yet made.
Yeah.
I happened to be listening the day that he called it that.
Like, oh, wait, that's me.
And it was Taxi.
Yeah,
starring Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon.
People hate that.
People hated it so much.
Now I want to see it. Now I want to go back and see it.
It has one good scene where Giselle Bundchen.
All right.
Frisks Jennifer Esposito.
Okay.
For a long time.
All right, good.
For a very long time.
I would say you could just get that on YouTube right now.
Just that.
Yeah, just watch
For some reason, the bad guys are supermodels. Yeah. They rob a bank and then strip down into bikinis as a disguise and then leave. Which sounds better in the room.
A lot of this movie was thought up at Luc Besson's house in the north of France.
Yeah. Right.
Where you kind of get carried away and you're not paying attention.
And
suddenly he's like,
wine. What if you said I'm good bikinis?
And you're like, yeah!
That's going to kill him, Rosita. This is great.
I'm the king of the world!
Are the two of you sure you don't need notes?
Oh, no. I think that movie
proves. I didn't say we didn't need them.
No.
I said sometimes that we don't get them.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the best thing you've ever written?
Hell Baby.
Hell Baby's
great.
If you like our stuff, Hell Baby's amazing.
If you like Reno and us, you're going to love Hell Baby. Yeah. I'm really proud of I mean, Night at the Museum is like a great
kids
movie.
I love Night at the Museum.
Which they don't come out with great like
family movies. When it's on at Christmas, I'm always excited about it.
And like you go to museums and there's signs for it at the museums. Yeah. And museums all over the country have Night at the Museum where kids get to sleep in the museum. Yeah. And that's cool.
Right.
It's not selling toys. It's selling history.
Right.
It's cheesy, but it's
still not as cool as Giselle Bundchen, Frisk and Jennifer.
Which we wrote a scene like that for Night at the Museum and they didn't use it.
I have a movie coming up, but I'm just keep plugging this weird clip that's on the internet.
That's good
that we wrote because that was our idea.
It was your idea.
If in the third, if there's some reason for Amelia Earhart to frisk Sacagawea,
but
I don't know if we can make that make sense.
We can. Of course we can. If we can make Blue Jack City work, we can make anything work.
Night at the Museum. If you died today on the way out of here, if your little Tesla got squashed or whatever,
that sounds like a threat.
It does.
Wow.
The New York Times obituary headline would be Night at the Museum scribe. Right. That's how they would refer to you.
I think it would be basic cable short shorts.
tragedy. Dangle. Yeah.
Would it be Reno 911 actor? You think that's what the
people recognize us for? Especially when we have the mustaches.
Especially
going.
Cops, which is great. When
lunchtime Wayne.
Yeah.
It's all right, officer.
I used to be officer.
Hey, hang on a second. I'm fictional.
I'm a fictional.
Don't worry about me because I'm fictional.
Sheriff's department.
Yeah, cops love Reno. It's I'll great.
Bet. I'm sure they do. Yeah. Although we had help me out here, Kevin. What's his face from Southland that we had in here last week? Michael Cudlitz was in. Yeah. Which we love that show so much. I mean, we were obsessed with Southland for five seasons. It was great. So we were asking about that, playing a cop. You'd think that he would be the LAPD's best friend. He said he got pulled over and was written a ticket while that show was on the air from somebody who watched that show, and he still got a ticket. Could not get a break.
Well, we're goofballs.
He was kidnapping someone. So that's
the fact that he got a ticket for a kidnapping is pretty
great. Slap on the wrist.
They're supposed to like lock you up.
Yeah. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
And I love that's your show, dude.
Yeah. Hey, I love your show, dude.
Yeah.
Let this nice lady go.
Yeah. All right.
Honor
we
system.
Have to
let her go.
One more quick break. Our guests are here talking about Hell Baby. We haven't even gotten into the awesome smoking, swearing, strip club visiting priests that you guys play in the film. But we will talk about that when we return here on the Kevin Abeen Show.
Through sets to get to our set.
Hey, on the air.
Hey, we're all talking. We're doing a thing here.
I know, but the Nine Inch Nails song.
But we're having conversation, right? Kevin. Why are you a bad man?
It's a world famous K-Rock at 7:36.
Robert Ben-Gurant and Thomas Lennon in studio with us, directors, rectors, actors in the film called Hell
Mild
Baby.
Polite applause.
You only get the applause the first time, guys. Don't push it.
Boo.
Movie is available on demand and is going to be in theaters everywhere on Friday. Again, it is called Hell Baby. Here's an update on my question about if there's any Hollywood example of somebody like our friend Rob Corddry getting a wife as hot as Leslie Bibb, as is the case in your movie.
Okay. Do we have a visual?
We do. Here's your win, you guys. Mad Men's Christina Hendricks is married to an actor named Jeffrey Arendt, who's just a little troll.
All right.
All right. And look at
nice
her
work,
and look at him. So he
so
must
one
be
example.
Hilarious.
Nice
okay.
work.
One example. So
right.
it's what I'm saying is it's possible.
Make
your
laugh,
movie could have happened.
Happen.
As they say, exactly.
Or just
let's
make
talk
laugh
about
and run.
Make them laugh and run before they wisen up.
Let's talk about New Orleans for a minute because that's we haven't talked much about that, and all of us in this room love the
it's
street
a great,
city of New Orleans,
great
right?
Town.
If you get the chance, if you ever get a chance, we did like for example, we did a table read. As you can tell, we didn't work real hard on
no,
this movie.
No,
but the table read that we did at Galatoire's. You know that restaurant that's on Bourbon?
Right on Bourbon, where they talk about it in Streetcar.
Yeah. A half hour after the table read, which no one remembers.
Right.
Rob Hubel had taken off his shirt and was bro dancing with
some dude
down the street. And we have it all on film, and we showed it to him the next day.
He tweeted it, doesn't remember,
does not remember
it until we showed him, and he was like,
really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I guess the table read went great.
I don't know.
From what you hear.
New Orleans is frequently a place where you wake up wondering what you tweeted last night.
Yeah. Ooh, well, better check that.
What did I do?
Yeah.
Now, I know
time
I know
to delete some stuff.
I know that this was a low budget film, but I thought I heard you guys talk about riding your bicycles to the set every day.
It was great. We both got little places in the different places in the French Quarter and shot maybe about a mile from there in the Muses, which is near the Garden District. And on the last week of work, I had to call 911 twice.
Yeah.
On Wednesday and Friday, I saw two assaults on the way to work.
This is a fun thing.
So locals, I thought maybe it's time to go home
on locals, your bike.
Locals in New Orleans, whenever they start to talk about like the crime, like just don't say it, doesn't everybody let it just stop now? They're nice and they might want to move here. Let's not talk about
don't
how we
pay
often,
attention don't, to the assault.
Don't pay attention to the fact that we often kill the good Samaritan.
We often kill the good Samaritan.
Sometimes you jump into
you
a
mug
crime.
Somebody, somebody come in to help you mug that guy too.
The first guy was bait.
First assault was bait for good Samaritan.
Suddenly there are three or four heads on the street. But have you been to the Commander's Palace?
Oh, Commander's Palace is wonderful.
Oh, it's they make a bread pretty souffle to blow your mind.
Have a beignet. Stay for the assault.
Yeah. But don't think while you're there. Don't think about the murder.
All right.
Yes, exactly.
But you called 911 twice.
Yes, a couple times. It was a good way to. And this is like at 6 in the morning. This is on the way to
set.
So you bike past Quentin Tarantino's movie. Hi, Quentin. Yeah. And then assault.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing place because you literally never have to set down your drink.
Yeah, no, you can just walk around.
You can even get a drive-through and get a daiquiri in your car.
Yes.
Drive-through. And the
is
theory is, yes,
it's absolutely true.
They don't put the straw in.
Well, we didn't know he was going to drink it in the car, officer. Yeah. We just
until they put the straw in.
Yep.
Talk about letter of the law versus spirit
no,
of the
yes,
law.
Yes.
Until they put the straw in, it's not an open
drive
container.
Drive to daiquiri. Take it to church. Have a daiquiri at church that you got in your car.
Never thought he would use it in the vehicle.
Oh, officer, that's a shame on him. Shame on him.
What is this drive-through daiquiri thing coming to?
If you can't trust.
Why did you make everybody use those accents in this movie? speaking of accents, we have not mentioned a couple of other people in the film. We talked about Rob Corddry and Leslie Bibb, and of course Rob Hubel. Michael Ian Black is in the film. Paul Shear is in the film. Kumail is in the film. Dave Holmes. What about
Keegan-Michael Key?
Fresnel,
oh, my God. He's so funny. He walks away with the movie.
He sold the film.
Without a doubt, this movie was definitely written, well, one, to see Ricky Lindholm naked for a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
Two, for Keegan to play this weird dude, Fresnel, who maybe he lives in the basement. Maybe he's a ghost. We don't know.
It's so funny. First time you see him, he's outside the window.
Yeah.
And he just lets himself in.
Yeah.
And then he does forever.
He just pops up at all different parts of the movie. He's living in the attic, crawl space. Who knows what that is?
He knows a lot about Shakespeare. No one's going to get an award for this movie, certainly.
He might get an ironic kind of MTV sort of award.
He was funny as hell.
He walks away with the movie. He's so good.
Fresnel with a silent S, by the way, if you're keeping track. Fresnel.
It's spelled exactly as it sounds.
With an F, apostrophe, R-E-S-N-E-L.
And now let's talk about the very sexy young men who are playing the priests who never are without a cigarette.
Ben and I
flawless accent.
Flawless. We worked on our accents in one van ride, as you can tell.
We're like, are you going to do Italian or what are you going to do?
I was like, I'm going to do Antonio Banderas.
Oh, okay. I look kind of do Roberto Benigni. There you go. Okay. And then that was the extent of our.
Although we pitched, we had to film in a real Catholic church down in New Orleans. So we pitched the priest who was in charge of. Was like, what's the movie about?
And we thought,
let's
a baby from hell.
It's an anti-devil movie.
It's an anti-devil movie.
You clearly say the premise of the movie is the devil's real and he's a dick.
Yeah.
Which is a line in the film, by the way.
We said that to him. And then we said, you know, it's about those like old timey like the priests who were like fighting priests, and he said, we could use more priests like those.
And he let us
suddenly we had permission.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, let me play just 30 seconds of a great scene between you guys as you're arriving at the rental car place and you're getting ready to go into New Orleans and you're talking about what you're going to have time for while you're there. Again, this is our guest, Robert Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon from Hell Baby playing Smoking Priests.
If we wrap this up in time, I kind of want to check out the French Quarter, huh? Is this a place where the girls flash out their boobies? It's the Vieux-Carré. It's the original city, founded in 1718. It's 78 square blocks that are all protected National Historic Landmark. It's an area steeped in the history of the Spanish and the French and the Civil War. But it is also the place where the girls
flesh of their boobies.
There you go. That's the takeaway.
That and girls do indeed flesh of their boobies in the movie.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And then there's a lot more detail about those girls in those boobs. Oh, wait, the rest
that's
of the
that's a long scene. Yeah.
This is one of the most pointless movies.
Oh, good Lord.
And
yeah.
yet, I would say, so perfect for our audience.
So yeah. perfect.
They tune into this nonsense. They're going to love your nonsense. They're going to love it. It's called Hell Baby. It's on...
on demand everywhere now? In the world. You watch it on
and
Xbox,
iTunes, right
iTunes everywhere. Amazon, everywhere. Any of those, any platform, Vudu. Yeah.
And if you want to see it in theaters, it's opening up everywhere on Friday. Guys, it's always wonderful to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Back Thank you.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:51.
9:10 this morning, we're going to give away a brand new Xbox 360. Plus, when you win, you get qualified to play a brand new Xbox game called Recharge with Linkin Park at a secret party in Venice Beach. You're with the band playing their video game. How cool is that? Your chance to qualify coming up at 9:10 this morning here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
We have a new judge on American Idol.
Yay.
Yay, I guess.
Woo!
Did the white smoke come out of the
yep.
Vatican?
Came out of the chimney there, and now we know American Idol has added their final judge for the upcoming season. 13th season, by the way, of American Idol.
Wow. I can't believe that.
Harry Connick Jr. has officially joined American Idol as a judge.
Okay.
So who else is the panel? Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
And Keith Urban.
Oh, she's
Urban.
Back.
Keith Urban, okay.
Yeah. There will be no fourth judge this season.
Okay.
But Randy Jackson has agreed to stick around to be an in-house mentor for the singers. He said he did not want to be a judge this year. However, he does like the snack table. So it's enough to keep him around.
What do you think about Harry Connick Jr. as a judge, Ralph?
Oh, I don't care.
Don't care.
I'm just telling the news, man.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass about that show at all. I don't think it's going to help. I don't think it's going to hurt. I'm stunned it's still
what
on
are
the
you
air.
Th- why, Bean? Do you
have
care?
An opinion?
I mean, is that
no?
He's very.
I don't.
No, I mean, look. I remember even years ago when I did watch that show, he would be one of their occasional mentors who would come on, and he seems like a genuine person who seems interested in the kids and has some good, pretty good music. I just don't, like you said. I think that show, that format, everything about it is just so tired that I just can't imagine his spark being enough to get people back on board.
It's meaningless. It's a meaningless show now.
Yeah.
Somebody wins the show and then they just go away and you never hear from them again. It's pointless. It's like saying, who's going to win Big Brother this year? It's like,
right.
It's same thing. I don't remember who won Big Brother last year or the year before that.
But why is that? Is it the level of talent is not up to snuff? Because they have not generated a hit act in as many years as I can remember.
I know there have been more, but Kelly Clarkson is the only one that I can...
Oh, that first on. Five seasons, they had seven or eight who are still, you know, significant
Clay
acts.
Aiken?
But
come on,
since
he's a
then.
Claymate.
Right.
Aren't you a claymate?
Not interested.
Oh, never mind.
But it just seems like the last five, six, 7 years, it's just nobody has come out of that who has survived. So I guess that's why I don't care. It's not like you go there to see America's Next Talent, you know?
What about Oscar Mick used to be fat?
Right. Well, that's from like season three also.
Yeah. And Adam
that's
Lambert.
Going way back.
Yeah, Adam Lambert. I mean, there's a couple names there that still have some relevance.
I miss Oscar.
Oscar McHouston, that's good.
I mean, Carrie Underwood, that was how long ago was that? She was like season four or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go way back to get these people who have stuck around. I'm just saying, it seems like they just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's meaningless. Completely. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs, CDs, and TV shows on DVD are released. Here's what you can pick up this week. A little band called Nine Inch Nails, apparently. They've got a new CD.
I know. It's more like Nine Inch Noise.
Hesitation marks.
How is it, Kevin? You've heard it.
It's good. It's Nine Inch Nails, you know. You know what you're
getting. I don't know. I haven't heard it.
You know what you're
tell
getting.
Tell me I know. I
don't
know.
Say.
Look around telling people they know things they don't know.
If you've heard Nine Inch Nails, it's good Nine Inch Nails.
All right. Bad Blood by Bastille.
That's a great
song.
Album,
that
kids.
Too. That's a great album as
Get
well.
Get that.
Pepper's new CD. Called Pepper, featuring their hit song Pepper of the album Pepper. Love in the Future by John Legend. Rarities by Rod Stewart. I'm guessing that's just a collection of B-sides and whatnot of his
sure.
illustrious career.
Outtakes, live. I've already ordered that, by the way. That's awesome.
Already ordered that.
course. Got to get what. He's a completist when it comes to Rod Stewart. Kevin, come on. Got to have everything Rod
I heard. You might even care about this, Ralph. I heard a live
I'm going to put money against that.
You want to hear
I heard a live, I heard a live version of Maggie May that he did on the BBC where Ron Wood plays the guitar instead of the mandolin part on Maggie May, and it rocks. It's super good.
Hold on. Hold on. Time out. Ron Wood's playing guitar instead of mandolin on Maggie May?
Yes.
You're right.
I'm bored.
I do, and I'm saying, I do care
just,
enormously.
It just it rocks. It turns it into a whole new song, and it made me excited about some of the other rarities.
Oh, God.
That might
I'm so bored.
DVDs today. Now You See Me. Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Morgan Freeman. I like that movie a lot.
I did, too.
I enjoyed it. Sharknado. If you missed it, the 107 times it was on television, or you missed it in theaters for a week. If you somehow have been able to avoid Sharknado, you can pick that up on DVD.
So too. Someone could own Sharknado.
They could indeed.
All right.
The Lords of Salem.
Oh, Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie movie, yeah. With Sherry Moon Zombie, Bruce Davidson. The Iceman.
The Iceman.
The Iceman. Are we doing Karnak now? I guarantee you it's not the... Dave the Game Master here put the exact same cast as Lords of Salem under the Iceman. So I don't think it's the same movie with a different title. So I don't have any information for you on the Iceman. I apologize.
The Iceman. Why does that sound familiar? Who is in that?
That's the one with Michael Shannon.
Oh, okay. Michael Shannon as a hitman for the mob.
Oh, here we go. Winona Ryder, Chris Evans, James Franco.
Yeah.
Why didn't you put that on the sheet?
So, Dave, the Iceman isn't starring Sherry Moon Zombie, Bruce Davidson, and Jeff Daniel Phillips?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not my fault.
Thanks for all your help. TV shows on DVD. Person of Interest Season 2 is available. Vampire Diaries, the fourth season. Scandal, the complete second season. Spartacus, War of the Damned. Complete third season. Office Season 9. Parks and Recreation Season 5. The League Season 4. And Revolution, the complete first season, available on DVD today.
I feel like Revolution was canceled four times.
Nope.
Like,
not go canceled away at all.
I know, but it would go away for like a month or 6 weeks. And then it would be back, and then they'd show two episodes.
The power went out, Kevin. They couldn't make any new episodes.
See what you did?
This is a
JK.
Good show. We're back.
JK.
50 Shades of Grey has been cast. A lot of speculation for months now about who will play Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey. Dakota Johnson of Ben and Kate fame will be playing that role. She, of course, the daughter of Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson. And Charlie Hunnam. He'll be playing Christian Grey. He,
Sons
of course,
Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. He plays Jax on that.
He's dreamy.
He's also in Pacific Rim. His career is just blowing up. So now we know. Now we know they will tie each other up and hump.
When does Sons of Anarchy come back?
Tuesday, I think.
Is it Tuesday?
Next week. Yeah, one day next week.
All right. Back to you, Ralph.
Sorry. You guys want to talk more about television viewing habits? I'll wait. I just want to hear more about Ron Wood not playing mandolin. Hope there's more to that story. A lot of people got married this weekend. Kate Bosworth.
All right.
Married her director boyfriend, Michael Polish, in Phillipsburg, Montana. Saturday Night Star Seth Meyers got married as well to his longtime girlfriend, Alexi Ash. And lastly, this is pretty spectacular. Weight Watchers is getting an assful at Jessica Simpson. They're a little fed up.
Is that right?
To lose some weight, yeah. According to Star Magazine, they have an out clause in their contract in case she doesn't lose the weight quickly enough. And they are now looking to exercise that clause and get out of their deal with Jessica Simpson.
Because she's not losing
weight. Which would be great because she would get no money. Well, she had a deal after the first baby, and then she immediately got pregnant right away.
Oh, I see.
So they didn't hold her to that part of the contract. They said, okay, have the other baby. But now, you know, when you have that baby, then you got to start losing some weight. So she's had the second baby. She isn't losing any weight. And they're starting to get a little nervous about their agreement to pay her oodles of cash to lose her weight. I think she's just having babies just so she doesn't have to lose any more weight.
Totally. Desperate to get pregnant again.
I'm pregnant again. Whoops. next one. She'll have like
Come
seven
on,
kids.
Daddy. Keep up.
Today's celebrity birthdays are on a list that is somewhere in this pile of papers. Here we go. Steve Jones of Sex Pistols, 58 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen turns 48. And Shaun White celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Couple of we don't generally cover a lot of Kardashian news. We leave that to Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. A couple of Kardashian things I do want to mention here. One is apparently on last night's show, it was revealed that Kris Jenner and her husband Bruce made a sex tape.
Yep,
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. If you did make a sex tape,
no.
Would you ever talk about that at the dinner table with your kids?
Well, yeah, if you're Kris Jenner.
What's
yes.
going on with that family? What?
No!
How damaged is that woman, Kris Jenner, that so that's she, appropriate?
She just brought it up out of the blue?
Sort of. They were talking about some boudoir photos that Courtney or Chloe, one of them, had taken for some boyfriend that they were dating. And Bruce was like, hey, you got to be careful with taking stuff like that. You know, we got a history in this family of, you know, problems with tapes, you know, pictures and things like that getting out, referring to the Kim Kardashian sex tape. And then out of nowhere, Kris Jenner has to pipe up. Oh, well, Bruce and I made a sex tape. And then, of course, he's horribly embarrassed. But
wow.
And none of this was set up beforehand, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I'm just saying. So that's thing one, is I want you to go about your day thinking about Kris and Bruce Jenner in a sex tape today. I want you to remember that that exists, that that's out there somewhere.
No.
That one day it may end up on your internet. That's thing one. Thing two is Kylie Jenner is in the news. Now, she is one of the kids that Kris Jenner had with Bruce Jenner, right? Because
right.
Bruce is not
so,
the
yeah.
father of Kim and Courtney and Chloe. Okay.
Right.
This is one of the young ones. She's 16 years old, I guess. She gets her driver's license last month. 18 days after getting her driver's license, this happened.
It's 16-year-old brand-new driver Kylie Jenner. TMZ reports that just 18 days after getting her license, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians star apparently struggled keeping up with the flow of traffic and crashed into the back of another vehicle and caused a three-car fender bender.
Hey! Hey! I'm a clown reporter.
She's driving a... Who is it? Is it a Mercedes SUV? Is that what she's driving?
Yeah.
It's a $110,000 car.
Yeah.
That's what I put a 16-year-old in.
18 days exactly. after getting your license.
And by the way, 3 days after the accident, TMZ showed her out and about in another one.
Mm-hmm. In a new one? So they don't
another
fix them?
One. Oh, okay. They don't know. They don't know whether it was another new car that they bought for her or just another one that's in the family, because apparently the Kardashian family owns 5 of these $100,000 SUVs from Mercedes.
Wow.
So that happened.
So what we want to do is talk to people who failed, maybe not that much.
18 days.
Maybe failed more.
Week.
Oh, I bet we can find.
I think we can.
We can find listeners who had accidents in less time after getting their driver's license. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. You saw the video we posted. I think it was last week of the girl with the driving instructor in the car flipping the car. That was awesome. That was about 3 seconds.
I think she wins.
We're not going to beat that
because she didn't even get the driver's
license. But we think we can beat the 18 days.
Yeah.
If you got your license and then you were in an accident, very, very quickly right after that. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067.
I would think, and I don't remember back to getting my driver's license, but I mean, you're as careful as you can. And it sounds like maybe that's what her problem was. It says she was having trouble getting into traffic, right? Like maybe she was too cautious. She was too nervous to speed up enough to appropriately blend.
So she was going too fast.
You heard the report. They said she was having trouble, you know.
Yeah, I think that was I think that was him being corny.
Yeah, I think the problem with young drivers is they don't know what to look for. Like, I have a friend who had two daughters, and they both, I know one for sure, got into a bunch of accidents after she got her license.
Sweet.
And it's just things like, well, you've got a car in front of you that's making a right, and you see that the traffic is cleared, and the car starts to go, and you don't think that they might stop.
Right.
Whereas once you've hit that car, then it's in your brain next time. Wait till they actually do clear before you go forward.
Yeah. When you get your driver's license, you know the basic rules of the road. You know how to operate a motor vehicle. But you have not experienced, you haven't encountered in the wild all of the various scenarios. It's one thing to read about it in the book. It's another thing to actually be there and recognize, oh, I can't see past that truck, so I shouldn't pass him and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those are kinds of things that you learn with experience, I guess. But I just can't believe that, like Kevin said, that you send out Kylie Jenner in a $100,000 car when she's been driving for 2 weeks.
Don't,
that's what I don't get.
Don't you have a beater around
someplace? You have a beater car.
For the first year.
Yeah, for the first year, because you know it's bumper cars for a while.
Right?
Exactly. So 18 days, that's what we're trying to beat, or we're trying to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. How long after you got your driver's license did you get into your first accident? Why don't we try, let's try Josh. Josh is on line one. He can tell us what happened to him. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Hi.
What happened? You got your license?
Yeah, half an hour after I got my license, I decided to go pick my girlfriend up
my girlfriend up from school, and I was driving a 68 Charger at the time in the Dukes of Hazzard car. And and you know what happens with those. I decided to peel out to impress her.
Sure.
And I unfortunately lost control and hit the only car in the parking lot.
Wait, this is the same day you got your license?
A half an hour after I got my license.
There you go, ladies. We have a winner.
We have a winner. Wins, yeah.
One half an hour. We were curious if we could beat 18 days.
Wow. Yeah. So how much damage was done to your car and to the other car?
Well, luckily, mine was steel, so it was about $600, but the car that I hit was a brand new Corvette.
Oh.
And so I took out all the fiberglass, and here's the best part. It was the principal's Corvette.
All right. Oh. All right.
So you just kept driving, right, Josh?
You know what? I actually did, but then I went back because I felt pretty bad.
I mean, look, I know you were a 16-year-old boy, but looking back on it, the fact that you peeled out after having a driver's license for 30 minutes doesn't seem like a smart decision, does it?
No, it wasn't. I still stick to the story that my gas pedal got stuck.
Yeah, that's clearly a lie. Thank you, Josh.
All right, appreciate the call. Katie, you hang on. Danielle, Sarah, Fabian, we got all sorts of stories.
A lot of women on hold.
Not Josh, though, man. He may be the winner. How long after you got your driver's license did you get into an accident? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Sean Kim.
Ladies and gentlemen, this band needs no introduction. New politics.
Then don't introduce them. You can't do both. Hey, speaking of beer mug, you're going to be so happy if you hate the mugs like we do, because he got mugged in New York City almost literally, and we have it on tape. We'll play that for you coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about the shortest amount of time you got into a car accident after you got your driver's license. For Kylie Jenner of the goddamn Kardashian family, it was 18 days. What do we have up next here, Kevin?
We were silly to think that we weren't going to be able to beat that, because we got somebody on the way home a half hour afterwards. Let's go with Danielle. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How long did you make it after you got your license?
You know what? It was actually like 4 hours afterwards. I was going to celebrate to go out to dinner with my boyfriend at the time.
Right.
And we were going to a claim jumper, parking in the parking lot. Everything went smoothly. It was a little ways away. So we parked, and I hit the gas instead of the brake. I went over a floral divider, and I turned to the left, and I hit a park Denali pretty hard.
Oh.
Terrible.
And by terrible, you mean awesome.
Oh, my God.
So did your parents have the big talk with you after you got your driver's license and they were letting you go out for that first day? Did they say, look, we're putting a lot of trust in you. You really got to be careful. Don't let me down.
You know what? They actually did it. They were just kind of like, okay, here's your insurance. Good thing we got you insurance.
Yeah, they knew Danielle.
Wow.
They knew what they were in for.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's try, how about Dylan? Let's go to Dylan. He's got a twofer story for us. He's on line eight.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I lasted 2 hours.
2 hours after you get your license?
Yeah, and it wasn't even the real life, the plastic one. They print you out a piece of paper, and so that's what I had.
Oh, and then they mail you the other one, yeah?
Yeah, so I had that paper, and I went to Target in my 88 Civic.
What a rookie you are. Target is like a race course.
It was pretty packed, and I just parked. And when I was coming out of the parking spot, I just kind of gunned it back without looking behind me.
That's good.
That experience Bean was talking about. I could have hit somebody, a real person.
Yeah.
Right.
But there was somebody backing out also that I just smashed right into the back of them. And we get out and we start exchanging information. And the guy driving is with his mom. He just got his license.
What?
so you got your
license 2 hours ago. He got his license a couple of hours ago, and you both backed into each other.
Yeah, but it was really my fault because he was like being super careful. And when I first got in the car and I got out quick, he wasn't behind me. So I guess he was going real careful and real slow. And
right.
I just gunned it without looking.
And you just decided you needed to back up quickly.
Yeah, and I don't need to look behind me.
Looking behind, that's for losers. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Is the story true that I heard, Lisa May, you might know this, right, that when there were only two cars on the earth, they hit each other. They managed to collide into each other.
That is
Is that
true? Absolutely true. They magnetically pulled.
I had heard that. I don't know what it is about cars, but they seem to be magnets.
Let's talk to Fabian, because Fabian is trying to challenge our record. Hi, Fabian.
Hi, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Fabian.
Shout out to you guys every morning. Me and my cousin, when we start our day at 5 a.m.
You're the man. Thank you, Fabian.
Same morning that I went to go take the test with my mom in the morning, she let me take her test in her brand new Beamer that my dad got her. And like 34 minutes after I got my license, I was all excited, ready to pull out of the DMV. Next thing I know, I'm so excited, I make a right without even looking to my left-hand side. Next thing I know, ba-boom!
Oh.
So you got hit.
Another car, and that was totally my fault, so I don't know whether to cry or be scared, because I was like, I just ruined my mom's Beamer, and my dad just got it for her birthday.
Yeah, you cried. got hit pulling out of the DMV.
Yes, I was pulling exactly out of the DMV. I spoke, and my mom said, you can drive, because you already have your license already. I was like, okay, I'm so excited. Got in. And as soon as I went to the right without even looking to my left, because we're supposed to look left.
Of course,
right,
of course.
Boom.
It's weird because Fabian doesn't seem like a guy who would get very excitable behind the wheel, does he? He just seems like a calm, measured guy. Yeah. That's a surprise to me, Fabian.
So I was just like, should I cry or should I just like run home? Because literally the DMV is like 10 minutes from my house. So I got out the car, and I just didn't know what to do. So I was like, should I run or should I just cry?
Yeah, you actually covered that. Thank you very much, baby. We appreciate it. I don't know what's worth. The fact that you've gotten into this accident is one thing. But when it's your mom's brand new BMW.
Yeah.
Like Kevin said, the kid needs a beater, right?
Yes.
Give him something to bang around in, for God's sakes.
Exactly. So stop doing what you're doing, kids. I feel like as many times as we all have been mugged, and by that I mean being subjected to beer mug against our will, it's only fair that he got mugged in return.
This is funny because we sort of, this got lost in the shuffle when we went to New York.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of stuff to do from New York, and we got back, we had some stuff to play. And Dave the King of Mexico reminded me that we do have beer mug getting taken for a ride in New York City, basically robbed.
Now, I don't know anything about this. Is this one of those guys on the street who's playing a shell game or something? Did he lose money like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Who was it, Muggs?
No, it was, in fact, I mean, we have the same guys in Hollywood that hang out on Hollywood Boulevard, the guys that are either trying to push their rap albums or their comedy CDs. And I was pushed both. Timbo King and Tiz.
Okay.
Were their names.
Now, what's happening is a beer mug was doing, are you going to finish that? And the camera was following him around, and he was asking people if they're going to finish their food. Funny. But then these guys came up, and I didn't hear what they said first to beer mug. Before beer mug says, I love black guys.
Yeah.
But that's how the tape starts.
Yeah.
So what was it?
Timbo King said, oh, man, that's a great shirt. I was wearing, like, a Rise Against shirt. He's, oh, that's a great shirt, my man. That's great. And I was kind of like, what I do here, I've encountered in Hollywood, I either just ignore or heads down, no thank you. But he kind of was cat. He was a charming young African-American gentleman. Very, very nice attitude. Wow.
How was your response, I love black guys?
Well, he said, don't be afraid. Come over here. Don't be afraid of black people.
Right.
And I said, I love, don't be afraid of a black guy. I was like, oh, I love black guys.
And that's where the tape begins.
I love black guys.
Where are you
guys.
From?
L.A.
I love black guys.
This guy's now interviewing Mugs.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Now, I'd like to stop right there. I love black guys. Are you from Compton?
I wish.
You're really trying a little bit too hard here, Mike. And I apologize for still not understanding the setup. These guys are doing what on the street?
They are selling their CDs.
And okay.
They're
selling
asking
their CDs.
For
gotcha.
Money, but they're going to give them a CD. But
gotcha.
But the money is negotiable, as you
understood.
Will hear.
All right.
So let's go back to the beginning because this happens so fast. I love black guys. And you live in Compton.
I wish.
I love black guys. Where are you from?
L.A.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Don't we all?
Everybody wishes they lived in Compton.
Muggs, you know that you could move to Compton, right? It's within your power to live in Compton, although I guess you'd have to get your parents to move there since you live with them.
Yeah, were you afraid of them?
Well, what happened was...
Be honest.
Here's the thing, Kevin. I was taken off guard. I wasn't really prepared. Since I was going up to random strangers all day asking them if they were going to finish that. So my guard was just way down.
Right.
And he captivated me. But at that point, I was like,
when you when he said you're from Compton, you said, I wish.
I wish.
Did you, in your mind, did you go, why did I just say that?
Yeah, exactly. I had no, I really wasn't thinking clearly at that point.
I wish.
You look like a Compton guy. For you, my comedy album, man. What's your name?
Johnny.
I call you Jay Swag.
Awesome, man.
Any donations for my comedy album?
All right, so he's asking for any donation for his comedy album.
And okay. I like this guy, by the way. He's hustling.
Yeah.
Right.
He was captivating. So
I think Muggs got in love just a little bit.
You think so?
I do, too. I think there's a little bit of a man crush going on here. Muggs is thinking, if I were cool enough to have this black guy as my friend, it would be so awesome.
Because he loves black people, and he wishes that he lived in Compton. So the guy's asking for money. Now, here's the amateur move. This is where Beer Mug is just an idiot.
Big time.
What Beer Mug does is reaches into his pocket and pulls out all of the money in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's not negotiating a price. He's not donating to the guy. He hasn't figured it out ahead of time. He's just pulling out what he has.
Yeah.
To, at which point the guys say, thank you very much.
We get up to 20 per album, or whatever you can get. Oh, you have the 20, man. Support, man.
Thank you, brother.
This is how Jay-Z started, man. Support, man.
All right, so support, man. So this is how Jay-Z started. Support. So they took the 20 out of your hand.
Right out of my hand. And right. It wasn't even like, oh, let me, you know. It was right out of my hand, and when I reached into my pocket to grab the cash, Kevin, I knew I had pulled the number one rookie move. Was just, I just pulled all my cash. He's going to see all my cash, and now I can't say, oh, I only have this much.
Of course.
And now he's, but the funny thing
because
was.
Because you could say, you had how much money? 22?
It was $22.
Okay, so you could have said, I only have $2.
I know, but those $2 were wrapped in with the 20. So,
all right, so the guy takes it. At least he says thank you very much.
Right.
He takes $20.
Right.
Thank you. Cool? He should say thank you very much. He just made $20 for 5 seconds of work.
We try to get up to 10 to 20 per hour.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Cool.
We'll split it to 20. 10,
perfect. 10. Perfect.
All right, so now they're going to split it 10, 10. Perfect, perfect.
Right.
And then they realize that he's got two more dollars.
Oh, no.
10, 10?
Yeah, you have two albums.
Okay.
Hey, where can I
get two. Two.
So they, so it's hard to hear, but the guy says, take the two, too.
He just took it right out of
my
hands.
And they just took all of it.
This is unbelievable. You're just standing there laughing like an idiot.
That was my nervous, dumb crap. Oh, I just...
But you love black people, though, Muggs. How do you reconcile that in your mind? You just got shaken down.
So the guy takes a 20, and then they size up Muggs as the kind of guy that they can just go ahead and reach in and take the other
two. Did they take your shoes, too?
Almost. He literally, I was standing there with the $2 in my hands, like with a dumb look on my face, just grabbed it right out of
my hand. He did the right thing.
Oh, my God.
As soon as you didn't put that money back in your pocket, he did the right thing. He took it.
I got bitched.
I'm surprised they didn't take your Rise Against shirt.
I feel like that so much.
You got mugged.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 9.
You're not going to believe this tape that we recently uncovered from television from over 20 years ago about how much this show called Hard Copy hates Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. It's actually pretty hilarious, and we thought in honor of the new album Hesitation Marks coming out today, we would revisit that tape for you, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock.
As first, much as we like them, they hate them.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly.
On. Race war.
It is on.
Race war.
Plus, we got a new Xbox 360 that you can win coming up in about 15 minutes, along with the Linkin Park new Xbox game. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday.
Now we get here, Bean, talk about Taylor Swift off air, too.
Yeah.
We get to go through that.
And he went to the show, at least.
I was suggesting that maybe there was a show business story you would be interested in, because you always look for things to blame Taylor Swift on. She's in the news a little bit right now. That's all.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about Taylor Swift.
Did your wife go with you, Bean?
She did. She had a good time.
You are
she was
a
very,
liar,
she was
sir.
Very impressed with the show.
You are a liar and a liar.
It's true, though.
Did she go with you?
Yes, she did.
No, but seriously, did she go with
you? She did. We went together in the same car. We both saw the show, and we both came home.
Seriously, though.
Yes.
She said she was going to meet you there, and then...
I know she did. She did try to wiggle out of it. She did threaten to jump out of the car on Interstate 5 on the way there, but I had the door locked.
She would have had a better night.
She would have.
Yeah, that's true. Did you meet her afterwards?
No, I didn't do any of that nonsense. I was too afeard. You know that.
Afraid of a little 22-year-old emotionally stunted waif.
Don't you grow a freaking pear.
Jesus.
sad.
You were the same way around Shirley Manson.
A woman, a full-blown woman with talent and history and a life.
Yeah, that's true. She does have all that.
A fully formed woman who carries with her enormous power and magnetism.
Taylor means a lot to me.
Level 22-year-old. Never.
First of all, she's 23.
She's 23 going on 14.
F you, Harry. I have a moon man.
I love her and you know it.
I want her to be hit with a safe that's dropped out of a 7th-floor window.
Cartoon death?
Cartoon death for her. Be so funny. Speaking of death, a lot of death in the showbiz news this morning. TV legend David Frost. Sir David, British broadcast journalist. Big, big star in the UK, to a lesser extent here in the States, but still many people knew him, especially from his interview with former President Richard Nixon back in 1977. Maybe you saw the movie or the play, Frost Nixon. He also interviewed 6 other American presidents, 8 British prime ministers, very lengthy career, passed away at the age of 74 Sunday aboard the Queen Elizabeth cruise ship. He was supposed to make a speech aboard that ship. Why is that funny to you, Kevin?
Just because, like, at some point, somebody on that cruise, this guy's supposed to make a speech, so they had to get up in front of the people that were there to see him speak.
Right.
And make an announcement.
Say he passed away.
This guy died.
Right. I'm still not seeing the humor, but I see your point.
There's a poor sucker that had to break that news to a boat full of people who wanted to hear that person talk.
And it's funny because
you don't get it, man.
You're right. I'm short-sighted of me. Not to see the humor in saying, I'm sorry, but Sir David has passed away.
I know it's been a couple of years since that movie was out, the Nixon versus Frost movie that you mentioned earlier. Great movie. Remember when David Frost asked Richard Nixon how he felt about black people? And Richard Nixon just went on and on about how much he loved black people and how he wished he lived in Compton. Remember that whole scene? That was crazy, right?
You mean this?
I love black
people. Where
are
you
guys.
From?
L.A.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That was just beer mug.
Yeah. A lot of people get Beer Mug and Nixon confused. That's a great joke, being because they're easily confused. So I could see why you would be able to slide that in there effortlessly.
I may have been confused as to which interview I was in.
No, it was really smooth and just
top-notch.
Subtle. Good work. Strong.
We're a little off today.
You want to just do something else instead of showbiz?
No.
You want to laugh at dead people and Bean can play some more audio clips and we can just move on. What do you say?
I'm enjoying the show business news. What else you got for us?
What else you want to shoehorn into the show business news, Bean?
Just that clip of mugs. It was a callback to something from 10 minutes ago. I thought it would work. And I think it would have. I think you could have gone along with it. We could have sold that.
Boxer Tommy Morrison passed away this weekend as well. He was a former heavyweight champion. Took the title from George Foreman. George Foreman was like 80 when he took the title.
He got it taken 38 times.
He later tested positive for HIV in his career and then went through a series of sort of false starts where he fought again, but then he didn't. And then some people say he gave the boxing commission someone else's blood to test. That's what gave him a negative that he was allowed to keep on fighting. He, till his death, pretty much argued that it was a false positive test that originally he had gotten. However, he did pass away from all indications from HIV. He refused to get treated. He said it was a conspiracy. It was a very weird, convoluted, sad story about Tommy Morrison. But many people know him, of course, as Tommy Gunn, Rocky's protege from Rocky V, who he trains. But then Tommy Gunn turns his back on Rocky. Signs with that Don King guy.
Yeah, it's not right.
It's not right. And then they end up squaring off in the streets, man. Finishing it. I want my respect.
Come and get it.
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
That was the worst of all the Rocky movies, right? Five?
No, not even close.
Really?
That's
worse?
That's a tough competition.
I think 4 is almost unwatchable.
But is that the one with the Russian?
Yes.
Oh, that's the best. The speech in the end, though,
but it's just,
was so bad.
It might as well be science fiction in terms of how unbelievable that film is.
And it's mostly a montage of the first 3 movies, just all edited together to make a new movie.
Remember, he fought the Russian, and then he brought the... I have the clip. I actually have the clip of Rocky bringing...
Well, because the crowd starts going, Rocky, Rocky. Remember, all these entire... just packed full of Soviet officials and stuff. And they earned so much respect for him because he's such a brave warrior that the tide has turned and they start chanting his name.
In here, there were 2 guys
killing each other.
Right.
But I guess that's better than 20 million.
Good point.
Я думаю, что это лучше, чем даже 20 миллионов долларов.
But what I was trying to say is that if I can change...
Yeah, this is real.
Я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился сегодня.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change. Каждый может измениться.
Rocky, Rocky, Rocky.
Oh, sorry, wrong chant.
Yeah. And then still, Rocky Balboa.
That happened.
That's still better than five, though. Four is still better than five, Ralph.
But Rocky Balboa then was also bad. I mean, yeah, that's some tough competition.
I didn't see that one.
Well, then don't talk about the Rocky movies.
Well,
then, okay?
That's why I was asking say, you.
No, you weren't. You were telling me. No, four is worse than five. You haven't seen them all.
I can speak to the ones that I've seen, and I'm telling you that five is the worst of the first five. I haven't seen the sixth.
All right.
That's a fair comment.
No, it's not, because it's not true. That's the only problem with your comment.
It's so true or not true. It is.
There's science, and then there's faith.
Kevin, what do you think is the worst of the first five?
I would say, but see, four was worse, but I loved it because it came around to be so bad. It was great. I love that ending.
Four is when it went right off the rails.
It was terrible.
It came about politics and everything else. At least five, love or hate it, was about Rocky running the gym. It was in the streets. It was about boxing. It felt like a real movie again.
Yeah.
He wasn't carrying trees up the Russian mountains in the snow.
That's right, that happened.
Training in a barn, carrying a plow.
He did do that. Those giant wheels, those giant truck wheels that he was carrying.
Come on! Burt Young's like sitting on the plow and he's carrying him through the fields. And what was going on?
Good times.
Good times indeed.
Today's celebrity birthday is Shaun White's 27 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen is 48. And guitarist Steve Jonesy of the Sex Pistols, 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
Jerome Ree of Glendale just won himself a new Xbox 360, plus he's in the drawing to play the new Linkin Park Xbox game called Recharge at a secret party in Venice Beach, with the band Linkin Park. How about that? Your chance every morning at 9:10 to get in on this, and then again throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. You can go to krock.com for all the details. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for Tuesday.
Our last winner was Jesse. Jesse, now Jerome.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. You don't go in the file.
Good night, everybody. Good night. You can't applaud for the file,
that's
guy.
That's definitely a file.
Oh.
You can stand behind it if you so choose. But
man,
it's a good reference. From what year, Ralph? Is that a reference from 1982? Five, three, four, somewhere there.
Somewhere in there.
The time,
yeah. The time, 9:35.
Oh man!
Wow.
I thought he was asking me the time.
No, you
the
didn't.
Band.
You know
the
he
time.
Was.
Oh.
You were quoting Jungle Love. Don't pretend.
Speaking of bands, it's Tuesday, new release day. Here's what is available for you on CD. Hesitation Marks, new Nine Inch Nails available today. Go get it. It's good. Bad Blood by Bastille.
Also good.
Pepper by Pepper. Love in the Future by John Legend. And Rarities by Rod Stewart. Finally, because I've been looking for that Maggie May where Ron Wood plays guitar and mandolin.
See?
Where can I find that? I'm so glad Rarities.
I have a clip of that right here.
Balls, 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 balls.
See? Very different from the version we know.
How about movies on DVD? Now You See Me, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Morgan Freeman. Sharknado! Finally available on DVD. Finally.
I got to be honest.
I'm going to have my Sharknado party.
I watched the first episode of it, and I've seen it.
First episode? You feel like
first time it aired.
The whole story together?
First time it aired.
Wait till the finale. Oh, you're going to be shocked.
I've seen it. I've seen that movie.
Lords of Salem, Rob Zombie movie. It's available today. And The Iceman. Starring Michael Shannon, who plays the...
None of us remembered that movie.
I don't remember
the mobster hitman.
But
I remembered it once... Dave K. Mexico told me he was in it.
We had Michael Shannon on as a guest on this program to discuss it.
There you go.
All right.
You're right there, Beer Mug.
Yeah, thanks.
Speaking of movies, we usually do this on a Monday, but since it was a long weekend, here's what the top 10 movies over the 3-day weekend were. The Butler, still number one, $20 million. A lot of people want to see that.
It's a weird week.
It was a weird week. Not a lot of biggies in the theaters this weekend. The One Direction documentary came out this weekend, made $18 million. Made it number two. We're the Millers, third. Planes, fourth. Instructions not included. Did a little research about this movie once being told to me what was going on. And it's kind of a phenomenal story. Low budget, Spanish-speaking film. Made a huge box office impact.
And it's only on like 200 screens or something, too, right? It's crazy how limited release it was, but it just sold out.
Stars a Mexican TV star and just caught the attention of a lot of Latino audiences who went in droves. By all accounts, it's a pretty cute film, too.
Why didn't Kevin, who's our new foreign language movie expert, why didn't he go catch this one?
I don't know.
Kevin
he loves
so
the
cool,
foreign movies.
He won't see anything in English anymore. That's his new policy.
Stupid. English movies are stupid. Absurd. Only foreign films for a pot of bus.
I did have to read the captions in the movie I saw this weekend.
Yeah.
Kevin, a good movie.
Kevin didn't know he was going to see a foreign language film this weekend when he went. Then he showed up, and it was in Chinese.
But don't you sense that Kevin is a guy who's surprised a lot in his life?
By a lot of things.
He shows up for a lot of events or meals or whatever, and it's not at all what he expected it would be. Yeah. He just didn't know.
Often he'll show up at an event in the an alternate location from where the event's actually being held.
That is true. Or a different day sometimes. That happens. That'll be the case.
A lot of surprises in Kevin's life. It must be fun.
Keeps things exciting.
Every day you wake up, where am I? What is this place? It's being Alice in Wonderland all the time. Down the rabbit hole. Elysium was sixth. The Mortal Instruments, seventh. The World's End, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, and Getaway, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about films, it's been decided the cast of 50 Shades of Grey, depending on who you ask, two very coveted roles or two roles to be run away from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, look, the book is crap. Very popular.
You know
what? Don't get me wrong, but very popular crap.
You know what's funny about that is most people who read it will agree that it's crap.
Yeah,
I haven't read it,
but they love it anyway.
It's
what they call mommy porn. It's geared towards titillating the ladies, and it's about sex and power and bondage and things like that. But by all accounts, it was just sort of like a summer turn on book that you read at the beach or whatever. How can you love it? It's crap. Not a real work of literature,
right?
Per se. Very popular, though. However, many people also read it said, well, there's no way you could ever film this, because basically the biggest thrust of the film, no pun intended, is this very overtly graphic sexual relationship between these two characters. How would you do that? Well, I guess we're going to see. Universal's going to be releasing it, starring Dakota Johnson, daughter of Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson. You may remember her as the lead from Kate and Ben, or Ben and Kate. And then Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy will be playing Christian Grey, and he's the dom to her sub, and all kinds of shenanigans happen.
Well, I like both of those actors.
I do too,
but I don't like them enough to go see this movie.
However, their acting may suffer in this film because it's largely sex scenes.
Right,
they're both very attractive, but I don't know. We'll see. It could be a surprise. This could be one of those films that turns out to be better than the book. It happens once in a while.
That Charlie Hunnam, he's good casting, though, for a bunch of ladies who are already
ladies
turned on
him
by the book, because they do love that dude.
A lot of women want to see Pacific Rim. Very disappointed when they found out it was about robots.
Very different.
No, they thought Charlie Hunnam was going to be
bent
over, maybe, yeah.
Providing
not the same
some
thing.
Sort of service
no.
along the West Coast.
Uh-uh.
But it turns out monsters and robots. Sad news, David Frost has passed away, legendary TV interviewer. Had a very popular talk show in the UK as well as here in the States. Got his big break in the 60s with a show in the UK called That Was the Week That Was, a satirical look at the news. It was pretty much The Daily Show before The Daily Show.
And he was in with a bunch of those Monty Python guys back in the day, right?
Yeah, they all hung together, that hip crowd in the 60s, all those Brit guys on television. Probably best known in the States still for his interview with former President Richard Nixon in 1977, after Watergate had all been said and done, and he sat him down for a series of lengthy interviews where Nixon cemented his role in a lot of people's minds as a political villain. Passed away this weekend aboard the Queen Elizabeth cruise ship. Sunday, he was supposed to give a speech aboard the ship, but passed away before he had that chance. He was 74 years old. Kevin thinks it's hilarious.
I don't.
We don't know why, but he thinks it's very funny that the guy
find
died
it
on his ship.
Funny that there's a guy who has to break that to a boatload full of people who want to hear him talk.
People jumping overboard, swimming ashore. Then boxer Tommy Marsan also passed away this weekend of Rocky V fame. He was the co-star of Rocky V, along with Sylvester Stallone, played a character named Tommy Gunn. Kevin thinks that's funny, too.
Wow. It's just insensitive to me.
Tommy Marsan was a real boxer who was actually a heavyweight champion for a short period of time. Beat George Foreman to take that title. 1993. Passed away Sunday night at a Nebraska hospital. The family would not disclose the cause of death. However, Tommy Marsan did test positive for HIV shortly. It's not funny, Kevin.
Stop
it's
doing
horrible,
that.
Horrible.
Not laughing.
And
it's being playing tape.
Okay,
sure, right. Sure it is.
Come on. Whatever you need to
look
say.
Look at my hands, guys. Whatever, I'm not touching anything.
Whatever you need to make yourself be able to sleep at night. His nickname was the Duke in the ring. Tommy the Duke Marsan. Why, you may ask? He was the grandnephew of John Wayne.
How about that?
Huh. His real name, of course, was Marion Marsan. And Tommy Marsan was his grandnephew.
Obviously. Kevin, you were happy when John Wayne died, too, if
you
I remember
like that,
right.
Too, didn't you, Kevin? Yeah. It was a big, big laugh riot, wasn't it?
It's not me.
It's funny when people die, isn't it, Kevin? Today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. He's 58 years old today. Actor Charlie Sheen turns 48. And Shaun White, the Velvet Tomato. Something. He's the luxurious tomato. He is the stewed tomato.
I think you're right the first tomato. Time. The Velvet tomato is correct. Yeah.
He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, your parents made a sex tape.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you found out.
I wonder how many of us have parents who made a sex tape, and mercifully, we don't know it, but it did happen.
Yeah, that seems bad.
I love to get
Ralph, you think your parents made a sex tape?
No, sir. No, okay. Not given their lack of dexterity with technology. I think. Maybe they had someone come in to do a cave drawing of them or right. A charcoal etching, but there would be no videotaping.
We also have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come. In-studio visit from Charisma Carpenter.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, dear Lord, I love her so much.
That's tomorrow.